Yo, this is Sasha, and you're listening to Fourth and Wine. We are going to be talking Eagles week 4 against the Bucks in Tampa Bay, and we're going to be trying a new sparkling wine. So keep listening. You are checking out Fourth and Wine. So what's up, everyone? Welcome to this episode of Fourth and Wine. We're going to be getting a little bit into Eagles Bucks, how that game went, and some of the aftermath. But first, let's try this wine. So it is a sparkling wine. I decided to go a little basic today. We are going to be doing the Mionetto Prosecco. Many of you probably have this when you go to brunch with your bottomless mimosas, maybe some Bellinis. And this wine is great for all those things. A lot of people tend to think that Prosecco and anything sparkling is champagne, but it's not. Champagne comes from that region of France, from Champagne, France. Everything else is just sparkling wine, baby. That's the easy way to put it. But I've never actually looked into seeing what Mionetto like is and learning a little bit about it. But it is obviously from Italy. Mionetto Prosecco is from Italy. This particular wine, it says, this company has been doing its thing since 1887, and it has inspired Italians to truly taste the good life. And then the thing about Prosecco, and the reason why I picked it, is because it's light, it's crisp, it's refreshing. It is a great sparkling wine to try when it's hot out. And you just want to sip on something, want something a little refreshing, pick up some Prosecco. And I figured we could taste it together. Typically, these sparkling wines have lots of bubbles. Let's start there. This one's very light in color. I'm not even sure what color you would call this. It's not wheat, only because it's a little bit lighter than that. It's like a golden color. It smells like straight apples. It smells like apples. Maybe a little peach, a little pear. Anyway, I'm gonna taste up because this wine is light and refreshing. I thought it would be a good wine to pair with how hot it was in Tampa week 4. So the Eagles went to Tampa week 4. Florida and 4 at the same time. Week 4 in Tampa. And y'all know, and I'm sure many of you have been to Florida before, Florida gets hot, sure. But that humidity is like thick. It's intense. So this would have been good and refreshing. I hope some of y'all, you know, sipped on a little Prosecco or something like refreshing if you went to the game down there. Eagles play the Bucks. Eagles won. Eagles are now 4-0. Scored the game was 31-25. It was hot. There was a ton of good things from this game. And I'm just running on vibes here, okay? We are on vibes. So bear with me. This is an imperfect episode. I'm not a perfect person. So like, I'm not a perfect person. Yeah, my middle school emo days came out. But anyway, a lot of good things. I'm going off on tangents. A lot of good things happened this week. Eagles were great in the red zone. We went 3 for 3 in the red zone. And there were a ton of big plays that really gave the game a little shake and flavor. First, big play of the game, Sidney Brown's touchdown. Sidney Brown. So Sidney Brown's on the special teams, play safety on special teams or whatever. Cameron Latu with a block punt, and Sidney Brown recovered it to take it to the house, 35 yards for a touchdown. Cameron Latu used to play for the Niners and the Cleveland Browns. He was on the practice squad of the Cleveland Browns, but he is, the newest addition to the Eagles this season. And I will say that was at the start of the game. So special teams played well, and I do give them a hard time most times. Yes, I do. However, they came out hot and ready to play, and that really got everyone going. That really increased the momentum of the game. A big play during the game was Jalen Hurts' 29-yard scramble. He made it to the Tampa Bay 2-yard line. We needed to get moving down the field, and Jalen came through with his legs. Jalen, as a runner, looks slow, but my guy definitely be moving. But he makes me nervous. When Jalen becomes a runner, it's like, sometimes I just want him to slide, and he does. And sometimes he'll take it there because I feel like I'm bigger than you. I can do this. But Jalen, we need you. We need you, honey. So he makes me nervous, but he is good at it. Can't hate on him. Then a few other big plays from the game honestly came from Dallas Goedert, who was having a fantastic game. He had 2 touchdowns. The first touchdown pass to Dallas Goedert was a little alley-oop from Jalen Hurts for 2 yards to the right, and Dallas Goedert took it right in for a touchdown. Watching it was crazy. Like, was that even a pass? They said it was a pass. So, Jalen got that touchdown on his record. But I appreciated the little foolery around, you know what I'm saying? But then Dallas Goedert had the second touchdown of the game with a 5-yard touchdown right up the middle. Dallas Goedert has been having a pretty solid last 2 games, especially after coming off the injury during week 2. Dallas Goedert is known to be injury prone, but when he is on the field, he plays and he shows up in big moments. And even with injury, I feel like he fights really hard to make sure he comes back and he's at his full potential to be on the field with his teammates. But yeah, the Dallas Goedert touchdowns, very much alley-oop for 5 and 2 yards. Then we go into the half. So the first half, we look amazing. Things are really like locking in. We're in a groove. We're in a rhythm. And then we come back after the half and things aren't moving as quickly. Let's say. However, we did have some key moments still nonetheless. We had the fumble recovery from Jalen Hurts and Jahad Campbell, who tackled, I think it was Kyren Williams, and the fumble was recovered by Keely Ringo, who is in right now because of injuries of Adoree Jackson and, Ja'Quarion Bennett. So, Keely's getting his moment right now. And I think he played a pretty solid game. As much as people have been saying, like, he might not be the guy, I still think maybe there is room for improvement, but I really like Keely Ringo. And I got high hopes for him, honestly. Coming out of preseason, coming out of training camp, like news reports weren't great. But I think there's something there. I think he's got the potential to be great. And when he gets the opportunity, which I even said 2 years ago, you give him the opportunity, you give him some reps, he gets going. So I think Kelee Ringo played a really solid game. So shout out to him. And then Saquon with the touchdown. Now, this moment of the game was probably the biggest moment of the game. Let me tell you. Because the Eagles was rubbing it in everyone's face, okay? So Saquon, the recovery led to a Saquon Barkley touchdown. But let me tell you this. So we ran the ball consistently on that drive after the fumble recovery. Run, 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 run. Then we get to third and one in the red zone. So we line up to do our normal tush push on fourth and one, third and one, whenever it's 1 yard to go. You know, a down and short. We'll do our tush push. So we line up to do the tush push on third and one. And it was a fake. It was a fake. It was a hand off to Saquon Barkley for a 6 yard touchdown. Saquon goes right around the defense and scores. The thing about this moment with the tush push isn't that it was a fake. It was that the Eagles were saying to the world, oh, y'all think all we know how to do is the tush push? Y'all think we can't win? We can't score without the tush push? Let me show you something. And that's exactly what they did. That coaching staff went in there and said, let's do a fake. Let's show them we don't need the tush push. And they didn't run the tush push at all. They did the fake. That was about it. They didn't run the tush push at all. And we still came out and we won the game. That was them sticking it to us saying, and I ain't going to say us. I'm all for the tush push, okay? But that's us sticking it to y'all saying, keep messing with me. Keep thinking we can't do it without the tush push. Keep thinking that is our only thing in the arsenal and that's the only reason we win games. It's 10 yards for a down. The tush push ain't getting us 10 yards. But I digress. And honestly, that was the last touchdown of the game. That was the last touchdown of the game for the Eagles. It wasn't looking good the second half. It was not looking good. Defense gave up a big play for about 70 plus yards. Baker was slinging it, okay? But we couldn't run the ball well. We weren't finding our receivers well in the second half. This week was the opposite of what last week was. Last week, the first half looked abysmal. And then the second half, you're like, oh, they start throwing the ball. They start really getting into a rhythm and they really start clicking. This week, we were clicking. We came out hot and we came out fast. And I feel like after last week, listening to Nick Sirianni talk about we got to come out hot and fast, just like we ended that game against the Rams in week 3, we got to come out that way in week 4 against the Bucks. And I am glad that they did, and I'm glad to see that. But we also need to keep that up throughout. I realize when the Eagles get up a little bit, I feel like they start trying to try some new, different things. I guess testing the waters when they have a lead. But we allow the Bucks to seriously make a comeback. We allowed them to make a comeback. And without the interception by Jahad Campbell to kind of slow it down a little bit, give us the ball back, and maybe pick up some momentum? Who knows? Who knows? So the interception by Jahad Campbell, I really thought it would have turned into 7. It did not, however. It turned into a 3 and out. The Eagles not moving down the field, not being able to pass, Saquon being stopped and getting locked up. Teams have an answer for Saquon. And I will say they have an answer, but it's layered. It's layered to me. Now, what I will say is I think Saquon not being able to run the ball in part is because our offensive line, while good, they are not great. They are not what they were last year. And I think that's because they are a little banged up. Tyler Steen, Lane Johnson might be a little banged up. I also feel like our offensive line is a little smaller. And I'm saying smaller as if these aren't big men that can knock you out. But I mean smaller in the sense like Mekhi Becton was on our line last year. He was a behemoth, okay? So in comparison to him, in comparison to his technique and what he can do, I think, you know, things have taken a shift. And I hate being overly critical of football players because it's just like, who the heck am I to tell these men who've been playing the sport their entire lives what they are, like whether they're good or not. But I think there were some moments where Tyler Steen didn't execute maybe as well as he wanted. And I'm not blaming him for the run game, but I think a few of those moments were contributing factors. Lane, he had a stinger last week with his neck and everything going on. Him not being 100% could have contributed some to that. But Lane's many years here as an Eagle, Lane will fight through an injury. He will show up and he's going to play. That line, they're going to fight. Landon Dickerson, he's going to fight. And it's always good to have guys like that on your team when you want to make a push and you want to win. But the offensive line just isn't, to me, up to par as it was last year. And I think it can get there, but like barring injury. So with all that being said, talking about injury and I mean, we won the game, but there's still a lot left to be desired. I mentioned Lane Johnson. He sat out a portion of the game. He was replaced by Fred Johnson. Jalen Carter was on the sideline wincing. Looks like he was pulling and trying to like rotate his shoulder. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Tyler Steen got a little banged up and left the game for a bit. Matt Pryor came in. When your line starts going down like that, you're not going to be able to run the ball. You're not going to have a good pass game. A good pass game. Every week. Every week, a good passing game is the topic of conversation every week. Whether that's from national media, whether that's from the local stations, fans, So what's the problem? What is the problem with the passing game? Some people say it's Kevin Petullo. Some people say it's coordinating. Some people say it's coordinating. They said it was Kellen Moore in the beginning of the last season. Said it was Brian Johnson. No creativity. Receivers not getting open. Is Jalen getting enough time to even throw the ball? With a banged up line, how much time do you have? A little less probably than usually. O-line not holding up long enough. Then they blame that for the passing game. Then they blame Jalen for the passing game. He's unable to get the ball out quickly. He can't find his receivers. He's too short. He can't see over the defensive players. He can't throw. He can't make good decisions. And quite honestly, I think it's a combination of many things. I think people always want something to be black and white. Sometimes it's a little gray. And sometimes it's different shades of gray. I think it's a combination of all of these things. Getting a new offensive coordinator. What kind of plays is he bringing? Our offensive coordinator was the passing game coach. If we've always complained about the passing game, do we, like, how creative is the passing game going to get? And we promoted in-house, which is fine. I'm not judging. Also, the offense does run through your quarterback. I think he has a say in what plays they run and what plays they don't. He chooses what he's comfortable with. He chooses what he's in a rhythm with. He chooses what he thinks will win the game. I don't think he's forcing it. Sometimes we just don't got the plays in the playbook. It's not creative. We trying to keep things simple and basic. At the end of the previous season, you are planning for your next season. You start planning. You start off with probably 1,000+ plays. And you windle it down. By the time you get to training camp, you got like a decent chunk of plays you're going to work with, and you pick the best ones for the personnel that you have. By camp, you know who you're working with. You know what their strengths are. You're figuring it out. You're practicing the plays. By preseason, you pretty much narrowed it down to a few plays, and this is what it is. I'm all for fundamentals. And I'm all for keeping things simple. But if it's not working and you have two of the best receivers in the league in AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, maybe we need to figure out other ways. And as much as we do want to put some of this on Jalen, or people want to put it on Jalen, it's mind-boggling, the passing game, because Jalen can do it. Jalen has done it. Jalen just did it. He threw for 226 yards last game, 221 in the Super Bowl. 246 in the NFC Championship. 311 playing the Saints last year. It's there. The passing game is there. It's the consistency. And it's not like there aren't moments where they are trying to throw the ball. They'll try. And it's just not clicking. And it's not in a rhythm. But when it's rhythmic, it's a beautiful melody. I mean, fans aren't happy. Media isn't happy. And most of all, your wide receiver, A.J. Brown, isn't happy. And if he isn't happy, I'm sure there's other people who are a little unhappy right now. A.J. Brown tweeted right after the game, probably a few minutes. A.J. Brown tweeted right after the game, and he said this: "I love y'all with all my heart. Bandaged up heart emoji." Mr. Brown, what does that mean? What does that mean? Then he reposted a Bible verse. He reposted Mark 6, verse 11, that read, "If you're not welcome, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way." In other versions of the Bible, this verse reads, and I'm not a preacher, but hello, amen. The verse reads in other versions, "And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." Now, Mr. Arthur Brown, I get his frustration. I understand it wholeheartedly. I really do. You want to be able to contribute. And anything anyone does in life, it's like, yes, winning is fun, but I do want to help. I'm here. I'm able. I am willing. And especially when it's something that you're passionate about and something that you love, you want to be able to showcase a God-given talent. His tweet is concerning to me only because I don't want it to create a locker room frenzy. If we're being honest, though, there's only one football. One. It's only one football. And it's 11 men that are out there at once. And 11 men on the other side that want to stop you from moving that ball. Some games it's not going to be enough to go around. But you got to get your receivers involved. Especially A.J. Brown. Especially Devontae. But they haven't even been able to do the run game well. It's not like it was last season and the run game was going off and AJ wasn't getting the ball because Saquon was going off. Saquon has the lowest yards per carry this season in the league of all. So nobody is performing to their fullest potential right now. So something's got to give. I think multiple things can be true at once. Jalen has to be better, sure. Your receivers got to get open, sure. Your line has to execute, fine. Kevin Petullo's got to be more creative and come up with something else for Jalen and that team. But I don't know. We know we can win this way. We've seen it. We did it all last season. We've won many games like this. But it's not something that's sustainable if you want to keep top talent on the team. So while his comments are definitely like, honestly, it's sad. I'm sad that he's like going through that. Yeah, like it's unfortunate. But Nick Sirianni had this to say. He said this in response when a reporter asked him about AJ Brown's tweets. Obviously, AJ is very important to this football team. I know he wants to contribute. I know he wants to contribute and do the things that he's capable of doing. He wants to contribute to these wins. And he's had a couple games where he hasn't been able to, for different reasons of why we haven't in these games. But I question nothing about his desire to play great football, his desire to be a good teammate, and his desire to be here. And that last part is important. Because to most people, AJ Brown's frustration seems like there is not much desire to still stay. But Nick Sirianni, who knows that man better than us sitting behind a mic and a camera, said he doesn't question his desire to be here. And that's kind of all I can go off of. But next week, Eagles play the Broncos at home on October 5th, 1 o'clock game. I was watching the Broncos game and they looked okay. Granted, they were playing a pretty lousy Cincinnati Bengals team, but they looked okay. Cortland Sutton went off. J.K. Dobbins, really good players. We're going to have to stop the run. That line is going to need to execute against the Broncos. They ran that ball a lot in that game on Monday night. They got, I think his name, Harvey, J.K. Dobbins. I'm looking it up. Yep, R.J. Harvey, J.K. Dobbins. They ran the ball a lot on Monday Night Football. And we are going to have to tighten up on the line to stop the run. That defensive line. Jalen Carter. I hope he's fine. I really do. I hope he's okay. But that shoulder and him being on his knees in the fourth quarter, wincing in pain, not making me feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. So hopefully he gets some time this week to rest up and get it together. But next week we play on Sunday and Thursday. So it's going to be a very short week for them. However, there was a lot of penalties in that game. So maybe the Broncos will shoot themselves in the foot. But we also got to do a lot better with penalties. We get some unsportsmanlike conduct, some personal fouls here and there. I mentioned last week, everyone complains about Adoree Jackson and fine, do your thing. But I also want to complain about Quinyon. I love the passion. Love the passion. And honestly, you do need somebody like that. You need a really passionate person. But we got a lot of those. Quinyon, he right at you. Coop, right at you. Jalen Carter, right at you. Just like, fellas, take a step back and calm it down just a little bit. Because the NFL is throwing out flags for everything. When I tell you that Broncos game on Monday Night Football was the most penalty flags I feel like I've ever seen in a game, I need to look up how many flags was called in that, how many penalties were called in that game yesterday. It was ridiculous. But we are going to have to make sure we stop the run and make sure we got a pass rush. Make sure there's a pass rush. I haven't seen a lot of bursts and disruptiveness from our defense when it comes to getting to the quarterback. We've struggled with that a little bit this season. But like Jalen Carter said, I'd rather have a dub than have a loss and six sacks. And I feel that. I feel that. But we also got to stop a mobile QB, just like Baker. Bo Nix is moving. He's very mobile, and he's going to run. He can't find it. He's going to take it. But either way, Sunday's going to be cool. I'm going to watch, enjoy, eat. Maybe pour me a glass of Prosecco. If this is left over. But all in all, I'm hoping we can figure out the passing game. I'm really hoping something can happen. I would love for AJ to be more involved because I've said it previously, when AJ is involved and when AJ starts, we win. We win. Without him, what is this? Without our receivers, us having players and some of the top players in the league at every position works to our advantage, but not when they all aren't at least involved in some way. But we'll see how Sunday goes, see what they go back with, see how they hit the drawing board, what they come up with. Maybe they switch it up a little bit. Hopefully they come out hot on Sunday. It is an early game, but hopefully the weather's good. We have a good one. We get another dub, be 5-0. It'd be nice. But also, I don't want to force it, but I'm hoping AJ, Devontae get some more involvement. But pour up a glass. Until next time, peace out.